What's up, everybody? My name is CJ Garcia, and this is the Word of Mouth Podcast, the podcast that is here to help equip and to motivate you to get the word in your mouth. Come on, somebody. Well, what's up, everybody? It is good to be back. I am currently in the hotel coffee shop of Sheraton. With Reverend Izzy Hogan, and it's gonna be number one, I want to say it's good to be back, and I'm excited. This is gonna be a new season, a new time for Word of Mouth Podcast. And I'm just excited for what God's going to do. And hopefully, I can retain some of the listeners that I used to have. And, I don't know. I just want to share burden. So, just real quick, it's kind of funny. I was just talking to Brother Izzy about this, but, it's kind of full circle, bro. when I first started this podcast a long time ago, like the third episode of Word of Mouth Podcast, just went to a boot camp, and it was a minister's boot camp, and we sat there and talked about what his pastor preached, what my pastor preached, what a bunch of people preached, and it was a good time, man. And so I'm just excited to have Brother Izzy back, and again, we're in a hotel. So anyway, Brother Izzy, say hi to the people.
What's going on? It's good to be back. I was excited to be with CJ Garcia
himself.
good friend. So yeah, excited to be here in conversation,
man. Yes sir. Yeah. And I know in previous times, like with previous episodes, it's been kind of a interesting little format where we've kind of always talked about little things that are we taught, me and Nate, or back then we would, like, if we did an interview, we just kind of chatted with them or whatever. I want to do that, but I also want to just real quick just talk about the fact that what I'm looking at in this new season, in this new era of Word of Mouth Podcast, and what I kind of see going on, I really want to continue keeping some of our segments. Me and Brother Izzy were talking about it. I'm still going to continue doing Word of the Wise. I'm still going to do Doctrines of Devils. People really like that. Ministry and Miracles, whatever I feel is appropriate. I'm going to do a lot of interviews. Not so much interviews, but more just talking and sharing from the heart. And then, like you said, you know, testimonies, man. If somebody's got a sweet testimony, bro, I want to hear it, man. And I want the world to hear it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. But today, as we were talking, kind of want to see what's been going on in the world of Izzy.
Well, as you know, we just had a great change in our life. We just had a baby boy.
Little Zion.
Zion Paul Hogan.
Is his name middle name Paul? I didn't know that, bro. That's sick.
He's my dad and my father. He's my stepfather, but he's my dad. He's raised me since I was like four.
Tight.
So I just felt it was, you know, just give him his name. Because without him, you know, So, yeah, Zion Paul Hogan.
Cool.
And we've just been going through that experience, and it's cool, man.
Yeah. It's a new. You want to talk about a new season?
Yeah.
I made a joke today. If you know Izzy, he's known for his smiles. Just kidding. No.
I'm very stoic.
But the funny thing is that.
Yes.
The funny thing is I told your wife, you were gone, I think you were doing something because we were at a conference. I said, man, I was tickling him, or he was just smiling. I was like, dude, he's got enough smiles to last Izzy a lifetime, bro. Like, For real, that kid is just so stinking happy. Does he cry a lot? Does he get upset?
He doesn't. He's unless he's like super hungry, needs to be changed. You know what I mean? Like just stuff like that. But
sounds like you.
Yeah. It's. I guess it's after prayer. I pray that he would have my wife's character and personality, because I think the world could only handle one me. Lord's still working on me.
Mighty God.
He's definitely got her personality.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Not mine. He looks like me, but has her personality.
But how? Three, 4 months ago?
Seven.
Seven.
He's a monster, man. He's crawling everywhere, smash, standing up. Today he attempted to stand by himself, like let go. So I'm nice. Guessing probably, I would say still maybe 2 more months.
Yeah.
Should be walking.
Oh yeah, bro.
Because he's getting those strength in his leg, and so.
Well, I had a dream he was running, so.
I'm pretty sure once he starts, bro, it's a wrap.
He's gonna be gone.
It's a wrap, man. So yeah, man, we've just been experiencing that. It's been cool. It's been awesome. It's been a joy, honestly, man. Something that, and I don't mean to say this in a bad way, but so many times with kids, you hear always like the negative stuff about having kids, and I don't know, man. It's let me just say it this way: I've learned. When people would tell me stuff, and then now that I have, like, obviously he's only 7 months.
Sure.
Got a lot to go.
Oh, yeah.
But just in those 7 months, just some of the stories I would hear, it was like, oh, you were just bad parents.
Oh, that stings. Oh, man. That's hilarious, dude.
But at the same time, that's just me being me. But at the same time, I know most people are just, trying to be
funny
or just rib, but it's just been a joy.
That's hilarious.
It's just been a joy. Like, you same thing with marriage. Like, people, all the old ball and shit, like, nah, man, I see when people get married all the time, and dude, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
It's like the best. Like, I just, as much as people may, a lot of people on here probably don't know me at all, but I'm actually a very positive guy. I'm very chill,
for
very
sure.
laid back. I'm quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean, my perspective on things is very, very, I have a very positive outlook on things, and I always look for the good in things. I do also realize that life's real. I get that. But you have real moments, but at the end of the day, it's just been a blessing, man. It's just,
yeah.
And it's something that me and my wife waited 12 years. We were married 12 years before, we had him. I'm glad we did. Because we really got to know each other and enjoy each other.
Spend
a lot of time just growing.
You guys did a lot of traveling too.
Yeah, so we were so ready for that. We were ready for it. So it was just really a moment of, just as a chat, the next step, the next chapter that just felt right.
Yeah.
And so it's like anything that I guess could be perceived as an obstacle is just more like, experience
for sure.
This is what it is. Like, this is a child. Like, this is what So it's not, I don't look at it as, oh my gosh, or my life has drastically changed. I mean, it has, but it should, right?
No, of course. And like, that's the thing is, like, when me and Sarah, we were living in an apartment before or whatever. I don't know if you never saw it, but because I was pretty sure you hated me back then. No, I'm just kidding. But we lived in a little apartment, and they didn't allow kids because of this lake that was there. And so we were like, we feel pretty good in our job. Let's have kids, So then that threw us into the housing market, of course. But you had already had your house set up. You just had renovations in your house, all that stuff.
Yeah, so I'm so grateful. And we can move on after this because I could talk about this all day long. but you could make plans.
Sure.
But God ultimately always has a final say.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm so grateful that the plans me and her had that God seemed fit to allow us to go through on those. So even probably the better question really is, or it begs a question of, was those really our plans, or did God put those desires in our heart?
Yeah.
That's it. So we could, you know what I mean? And so it just, I'm grateful. Like I said, you could have, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to wait and you know, decide to do, you know, finish school, do this, travel, all that kind of stuff. But if it's your time to have a kid, God, you know what I mean? Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Time, I mean, that baby's going to be born.
Yeah.
So I'm just grateful. I'm very grateful that. And then I'm also just so in love with him that it's like, if we would have had a baby sooner, it wouldn't be him.
True that.
You know what I'm saying? True that. It would have been a whole different baby. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, I'm glad it was him.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
We waited for him.
Bro, that baby's.
And he's just, yeah, he's awesome, bro. And he's actually done a lot for me, bro.
Oh,
He's.
We talked a little bit
about
it. Yeah,
he's helped me out a lot. And just, you know, my past growing up, my father, and just my biological father, and just stuff I went through with him, you know. Having this son just opened me up to that side is just—it's been a blessing, man.
Yeah,
so that's kind of just where my life's been the last
seven months,
and even before that, you know, her pregnant, you know, just like that past year and a half, really.
Yeah,
it's just been that, and we're kind of just getting to the point now where, you know, we kind of figured him out.
Yeah.
And kind of know what's going on.
Oh, it'll all change, bro.
Right. The next, everybody says, like, especially when he starts, you know, obviously walking.
Has he been teething yet?
Oh, yeah, he's teething. He already has two teeth.
Did he get fevers at all?
No, bro.
You're lucky,
bro. Yeah. So, yeah, thankful to God.
Yeah,
bro. Know? But, so, yeah, man, that's just kind of where I've been wrapped up and it's just been exciting.
Yeah, and then also I think at the time that we recorded the third episode or whatever, the boot camp one, you were still youth pastoring.
Yeah,
you were still on the youth board, I think, too.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise, what's going on over there?
That was a while ago.
That was quite a time. And
yeah, so since then,
you haven't been youth pastoring, you just. What do you do again now in the church?
Technically, my title is assistant to the pastor or pastoral assistant.
Nice.
And as we discussed, just means whatever man of God needs me to do.
Oh, man.
We just do.
Yeah.
But
that's funny.
A kind of what's directly, like, for sure things that I need to do, like, you know, consistently is like, just we're kind of overall the church discipleship in a whole.
Yeah. Or first time guests and everything like that.
Which that falls under. So first time guests to continuing Bible studies to even finding other biblical studies to help, you know, share among our church to continue their discipleship.
Right.
And so just doing all of that, that's kind of something that I, you know, work on consistently.
Yeah.
And then a lot of other little things that I do, but that's kind of the main Bible studies, just...
That's tight, bro.
Just doing that. It's just helping my pastor, you know, just kind of trying to help get people, you know, connected.
Bro, I'm going to get your pastor on this podcast, dude.
Yes, he's awesome.
He's going to be sick.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that's just what we've been doing. So, like, 2020, obviously, the pandemic shut everything down.
Yep.
And our youth group at the time, I would honestly say, like, 60% were, like, unchurched. Meaning, they were, like, parents didn't come, didn't grow up, were all either friends or, well, I guess just friends or just people that we met. That just were starting to come through either P7, through Bible clubs, through just whatever.
Sure.
But when the pandemic happened, like, it just cut that. Just all those guys, all those people just stopped.
Wow.
And so we kind of had to
regrow.
The thought was like, we were doing things in the meantime to kind of keep things going, right? Sure.
I think everybody was.
Whatever you could,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then it was like real fast, like, you know, we're going to have to relaunch this. And so we had already, we're in talks. God had already spoken to me about a year and a half before that about transition. And so I had, it was Brother Aaron Combs, who God spoke to me. It was, you know, he's the one. So I had already talked to my pastor, already talked to him. We were already starting to train and go through all that process. So I just, you know, I talked to my pastor, listen, we're going to have to relaunch. So I think it should be smarter if we just do the transition now.
Sure.
So he relaunches with him, you know, versus we have to relaunch. They come, I'm building new relationships all over again, and then like a year later, somebody else is
returning. Sure,
so it's
sure.
like, I just, so it would just, it felt right. It felt the timing was right.
Yeah.
Maybe a little forced into it a little bit sooner, but I think it's worked out for the best. And so, yeah, seamless transition. They've been running that, and they're doing an awesome job. And so, yeah, since 2020, we just, I think it was October 2020. So, yeah, that's where we've been working, man. So,
man, that's cool.
Yeah, just doing that, loving God, and just waiting to see whatever door God opens up, man.
Yeah, that's tight, bro.
So, yeah, that's
well, where I'm at, man. Thanks for sharing all that. That was good. But I guess what we're going to do is we're going to title this Word of the Wise is what we had talked about.
Yeah.
And basically, I'll be real with you, dude. Like, you're not, I mean, you're not that much older than me, I don't think.
39, bro.
Okay, you are older than me.
About to be 8 40 years. This month.
Happy 23rd?
Bro, 23rd.
Did I guess that right? Snap, bro, I did that good. Dude, that's on the pod, so I'm just saying, like, I guessed it right. I mean, yeah, 9 years, pretty much. But, like, as far as it goes, man, anytime I talk with somebody or it's just, I don't know, if I'm having an issue or something, I come to you or I'm like, bro, Izzy told me this or Izzy told me that. It's always been such wise words. I've had you stay at my house, I've stayed at your house, and we've stayed up continuously right. just talking about different things and different, just, we call them Izzy-isms or something like that. And like, I don't know, there's been time after time where me and my wife will be driving and be like, do you remember what Izzy said right there? And just be like, we just, that blew our minds. So that's why I think this setting, this segment is going to be so cool, because I believe that God has something on your heart, and it's going to be something that's going to help somebody. I know it. And so I don't know if you want to share, the floor is open, bro. We can talk about whatever's on your heart.
Sure.
And or what God's been doing with you.
Well, it's just something that's kind of been, whenever you hit me up for this and like, hey man, you know, let's get together and, you know, maybe think of something. And so it's just been maybe the past year and a half, I'm the type of person that I think in principles and concepts.
Okay.
And it usually starts with a question, and then I try to kind of seek that out, take it into a lot of different areas, and see if it works there, then it's a principle that I can add to my life, mm-hmm. and begin to practice it and apply it. And so I kind of, so let me say it this way. The thought is this: consistency over intensity.
Okay.
And I think what made me think about this, and we'll kind of get into it here, is sometimes in our apostolic or Pentecostal circles, we value intense moments.
Sure. Yeah.
We value those things and we push for them.
Yeah.
And I'm not against them. But
we do this through music or everything.
It's a part of our culture.
Sure.
We're very
hyped up.
Yes, we're very intense. We seek for intense moments.
Yeah.
And even our moments with God, right? We verbalize them, or we are after that moment,
mm-hmm.
that intense moment.
Mm.
And I just have found that there's a lot of danger in seeking intense, constantly pursuing intense moments. And what I mean by that is, if you always live for it, looking for that intense moment, it's like you're going from moment to moment, and in between that,
what's going on?
What's happening?
Yeah.
So from this intense moment to another. So let me say this. I see, obviously I follow a lot of Pentecostal people.
Sure.
And social media. And so I was seeing see all these reels and promoting, which once again, I'm not against this.
Right.
But we're always promoting intense moments and services and we're always pushing these things. But the reality is, we're intense moments, we need those, and they can be a tipping point our walk with our God,
right.
Or a culmination of moments that we have this moment and God does something in us. But the truth is, we should value consistency more than intensity.
Yeah.
Consistency is, let me say this way, consistency emphasizes faith over experience.
Mm. Okay.
And that's really what's happening.
Sure.
We want to value experience rather than just plain old-fashioned faith. Because consistency is boring.
Right, and hype is...
We put more value in an experience, in an intense moment, in this moment of like a you know, just miraculous, and once again, I'm not against this, but my point in saying all this is, as Christians, as apostolics, I think for the next generation, something that concerns me is, if we constantly are searching for the, living for the experience of intense moments, what that ends up looking like is, our walk with God is from one youth convention
to the next,
to senior camp,
mm-hmm.
to another intense moment.
To
that Sunday, like, there's nothing wrong with having, you need to have blowout church every Sunday night, but God is after the consistency of a daily walk. It's the consistency that transforms.
Yep.
It's the consistency that promotes growth.
Yeah.
It's those intense moments, great. You need that shouting, you go worship Him, you have that. But truth be told, I've seen a lot of, in my experience, a lot of those very exuberant, intense worshiper moments that people have, the people who live there are very roller coaster ride.
For sure. Yeah.
They're in that service, blah, and then when it comes to the actual daily living, they're just right back down.
Mm-hmm.
Because their walk with God is more focused on the intense moments rather than the consistency of walking with him. And where, because the consistency requires faith, daily sacrifice, the actual commitment to him.
Yeah.
The commitment to devotion, the commitment to prayer, the commitment to sacrificing or crucifying flesh and being led by the Spirit. Those things, when you're in that intense moment, right? All that's easy, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Anybody can live for God on that.
Yeah. But it's the consistency that God is desiring.
And something that I've noticed as far as consistency goes, or not consistency, but those hype moments, is, again, like we're saying, we believe in conferences. Like we're here. Like the reason why we're together is because we just went to Arizona Youth Convention, which was fantastic, by the way. Brother Green blew it out of the water, man. I'll tell you what. But the thing is that what I've noticed is that they will... Man, I mean, there's maybe 1,000 people there tonight. Yeah. Super easy to, music's popping, everything's going. Then 2 days later, we're going to have church service. And you're not doing the same stuff you did at the hype.
Right.
And then now the next person's like me. I know I come from a kind of a smaller church-ish now. Where I'm like, come on, let's get excited. I'm already hyper. I'm hyper as it is, man. I'm a hyper guy. But... I'm like, come on, let's go. And then what I've seen is, like, in a sense of what you're saying is, like, people come and they get those high moments and they go to these church services and they're not getting that, so they think it's not real.
Right. And or even if they are doing it just in their church service, which is still just Sunday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
But then they're, throughout the week.
They're not
doing anything.
Anything, yeah.
Because the reality is, it's the... Obedience is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
But that only comes through consistency.
Uh-huh.
Not the intense moment.
Yeah.
Like you can, once again, I'm not against those. You need them. I've needed moments in the altar where God just gets a hold of me and does something to me.
Sure.
But I have to do something with that.
Right.
Right? I have to go. So it's like Galatians says that we must walk in the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean? Like it's a daily thing. Something, so it's the consistency. And so I think sometimes in our circles, let's look at the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
We shout when the...
infilling of the Holy Ghost.
All that, right? Yeah. They were drunk and these are not drunken as you suppose, and like that's an intense moment.
Oh yeah.
But what brought them the intense moment?
10 days of prayer
is the consistency of unity, tarrying, being in prayer. And so we can't get this moment without the consistency.
And what's interesting about that is the fact that you see in the consistency, people don't want that sometimes because there was 500 first,
right.
And then there was only 120. So what happened to the other 380? Right. You know,
like, it was that the consistency of doing what was being obedient. He said, "Tarry ye here until."
Mm-hmm. Now
that obedience is a lifestyle now. Tarrying ye until, that's a commitment.
Yep.
Tarrying ye until. It's trust. That until is what it's the until that it's throws us off.
Yeah.
Just like I have to wait until.
That's true.
So it's like that's what I'm talking about. It's like we get excited about the day of Pentecost on the as the infant. Yes, and we should because that was the birth of the church. Is the first time that Spirit of God came into a man, and we were man was able to be filled with the Spirit. Resurrection of new life.
Yeah.
Right. Great. Yeah. But it was a consistency of the apostles being obedience to the word that they heard and living it out. Peter, right, this one drew like Peter and John, right? Temple.
Yeah, Peter. Yeah.
Says they went to the temple.
Acts chapter 3.
Yeah. Daily.
Yeah.
It was their consistent prayer life that led them
to the man at the gate called Beautiful. Yeah, yeah.
So without the consistency, there's no miracle.
Yep.
So it's like we have the principle is I must value consistency over intensity.
Yeah.
Because if I live consistent, those things will happen because I'm consistently in line with God, obedient to God, and just doing what I need to do, and I will be led to these God moments. I will be led to these places instead of trying to skip and forget what the whole.
And that's where you're gonna fail. That's man.
Yeah, and so it's like 1 Corinthians says, 15 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast.
Yeah, yeah.
Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the Lord your labor is not in vain.
Uh huh.
Being steadfast, being immovable, being that was that consistency that go being there to be able to stand on something that you're just being consistent with what you have to be consistent with the work of the God to actually show up. Just show up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Show up. Put your hands in the plow. Just continue to do it.
Yeah.
And this is where it goes back to what we're talking about. Consistency emphasizes faith over experience. Mm-hmm. Because if you're always going to live after experience, there's going to be times in your life where where the experience you're going through is not
what you want
to go through.
I know, yeah.
So it's your the consistency of who you are, of what you're putting yourself in, that's what you're building yourself up in, that would allow you to go through the experiences that are unfavorable and things that you don't want to, that nobody wants to go through. But if you always are living your life for the experience, then whenever you're in that place, you're going to think that God has left you, that you haven't, that you're not doing, but because you're
so true,
you're basing your whole walk with God on experience.
You're so
on intense moments, on what I feel, rather than faith and consistency.
And see, that speaks so much to this generation, bro, because they're all about feeling. It's all about, well, I feel, rather than like, I believe, you know?
Right. And so this is, and I think this is something that kind of like, I noticed in this younger generation that we have young people who love to worship.
Oh, yeah.
They love to worship. They're unashamed.
Oh, yeah.
But they can, if we're not careful as leaders of this younger generation, if we don't teach them correctly that we don't separate the experience that you're having in the service does not automatically equate to your walk with God. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Now, does that mean that you know how to respond to the move
right.
of God?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yep, you can learn that real easy.
And it's real, and when everybody's doing it,
oh yeah,
it's easy.
It's like an effect. Yeah.
And also, you could think that this, my response in this moment, my response in this experience, how I feel is my experience, is how I validate or even rate, I don't know if that's the correct word, is how I guess judge my walk with God. Like if I worship tonight, if I had a good experience, if I did this, then like this equals that I have a walk with God.
Sure.
And it's like, no.
No. Yeah.
You just responded to the moving of the Lord in a atmosphere that other people were responding.
Right.
Yes. He inhabits the praises of his people. You worship God, he's going to show up.
Yeah, of course.
But there's other aspects that are needed, and in, and if a young person or just anybody doesn't learn to value the consistency part of living for God over those experiences, then we have just a misunderstanding or at least a improper view of what it is to be living for God.
Yeah, for sure.
And we base it on our activities inside of an experience or an intense moment, mm-hmm. rather than really what really matters to God. and I think that's where, like, there's, if you really, so like I said, the way my brain thinks, I look at this principle and I begin to look at throughout the Bible. We mentioned some, like Daniel.
Yeah.
It was the consistency.
Yeah.
Of who he was, that not only gave him favor in his life, but also made him so predictable that his enemies knew how to attack him.
Right. Yep, you're right. That's true.
He was so consistent.
Yep.
That they knew if we're gonna get this guy,
we need to make a law.
There's only one way we can get this guy.
Yeah.
Is to intersect with his consistency.
Man, that's powerful, bro.
If we can develop something that's going to be where he's going to be at.
Yeah.
Right? But
man,
it's because of that that they were able to get him in that situation.
But thank God got the glory.
But it was also because of that,
mm-hmm.
that God ultimately
performed a miraculous miracle.
And I wholeheartedly believe that he was in that lion's den, bro, and he still prayed.
Who wouldn't?
But he was just consistent.
Yeah.
It's 10 o'clock.
That's
lying or not.
And see, that's something, man, that, and I'm going to bring up somebody that just keeps coming to my mind, but I think, I can't remember who I was talking to. I was in Walmart. I was just walking, and they had said, oh, it was Brother Jesus Mejia. He's like, we were here in this area, and he said, we were walking in Walmart, and all of a sudden we hear, whoa. He goes, and I just watched several people turn, and they just dropped to their knees and started bowing and praying. They're a Muslim country. And I'm like, dude, it's hard to get people just to pray, like, once a day, you know?
Right.
Like, but yet, like, you have, I've heard people, like, that they drop whatever they're doing. It's, no, listen, sorry, it's this time, I gotta go pray. That's consistency, man. And that's faith. But I was gonna say, you said Daniel, which is such a powerful point. But I think, Abraham keeps coming to my head, bro.
That's what I'm saying. You take this principle and you look at all the people who had an impact of God, they had something in common.
They had a God moment.
Yes.
Experience.
Yes.
But then
it carried them.
Yeah.
So the great, I preach a message on this. The greatest expression of faith is action.
Sure.
And what I mean by that is when you have this God moment that you cannot deny, it ought to propel you and drive you and push you to do things because of this God moment.
Yeah.
We worship him because he's God. We're commanded to praise him. But let's just be 100% real. Until you get the revelation of who he is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just,
that's the truth.
There's going to be no driving factor. But when you get that revelation of who he is, then everything in my life going forward is based on that revelation and what I believe him to be.
Yeah.
And so because of that, Abraham, oldest guy, he believed God.
Uh-huh, and it was
counted to him.
Yeah.
He believed God, so he...
Yeah,
and that's what it is. It's like, it's every single, even from David, I mean, just everybody, Enoch, I mean, anybody who did something, like, there's going to be a moment they have with God that propels them to take that into their every single everyday life and yeah. do something with it.
Yeah. And imagine, who was it? Was it Jeremiah? Or yeah, it was Jeremiah, where God said, I'm going to use you as a mouthpiece,
yeah.
but nobody's going to listen to you.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? Like, yeah. God moment?
Yeah.
And he's telling you nobody's going to listen to you? No. It would be real easy to not yeah. do it. Why? Nobody's yeah. listening. But he had a consistent life, and he said, still look,
good. I'm going to do this.
I'm going to go. I don't care if you listen or not. No. I heard a word from God and experience.
I got to. And yep. that's what those intense moments are meant to do,
mm-hmm.
is to equip us, strengthen us to continue
yeah.
in our consistency. See, but it's the thing is, we got to understand that God requires consistency from us because it's his nature.
Yeah. He's consistent.
He's consistent.
Yeah.
There's no shadow.
Yeah.
No variableness mm-hmm. in who he is.
Yeah.
He's consistent. He's not going to ask anything of us that he's not. He's consistent.
And we're made in his image.
We're made. So yeah, he wants that from us because this is who he is. This is his nature. And so when we, once again, going back to understanding the revelation of who God is, this is how we begin to develop our lifestyle of obedience and faithfulness and commitment
yeah.
and trusting him, which is now an actual walk with God, walking in the Spirit, you know what I mean, living after these things, and this is why he says don't get be weary and well doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you faint not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just don't keep on. Be consistent.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep
yeah.
on. Don't worry about the God, I got this, but if you just keep on doing what you're gonna do, need to do. Wake up every day. Just handle your business. Do what you need to do. It's boring. It sounds boring as all get out.
Yeah.
But that is what transforms. That's what takes somebody who used to be an ex-drug addict,
mm-hmm.
somebody who's, you know, just lost. How do they become? It's that daily consistent walk with them.
For sure.
And it sounds, it's not groundbreaking material.
No.
It's very simple, but it is the basis of having a walk with God. We have to value consistency over intensity.
Man.
And so that's kind of just something that's just been my favorite, outside of Acts 2:38 and the whole chapter of John, First John. yeah. I mean, John 1, I'm sorry. The whole chapter of John 1, in the beginning was the word, like my whole chapter, I just love that.
Uh-huh.
My favorite verse in the whole Bible is James 1:4. It says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire and wanting nothing.
Yeah, bro. Oh, man.
Bro. There's.
How can you want nothing?
You can if you let patience
yeah,
have her perfect work. But what does that mean?
Yeah.
It means that every day I got to be consistent with what I'm doing. I think I have a scripture here. James 5:7 says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rains. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh.
Amen.
And that doesn't sound fun, man.
No.
That's not God's gonna use you to cast out demons and you know what I mean, like that's all the fun stuff that sounds awesome, but which I believe in all that. But how you get there is through consistency. All that is hanging on, are you gonna be consistent in your walk with God?
And the scary thing is that in that scripture, you know, it's saying as a person's waiting for the coming of the fruit. Well, if you don't understand that fruit very well, you won't know when the time of the coming is, and you may just give up.
Right.
And then you're right there at the birth of the fruit.
You're gonna miss it, bro. Because you don't understand when the harvest season is for that particular fruit.
Right. And so you think about it, like, we don't really understand sometimes what our harvest season, but the harvest is plenty, but we don't understand what's going on. But if we have that consistent lifestyle, even if we feel like we want to give up, we know we're going to... God's not a man that he should lie.
Yeah.
So if he gave you a promise here,
right,
you could be knocking on the door the next day.
Right.
So why not go one more day consistent?
Just be consistent.
Right.
I think that leads to, I don't know how much time we have left, but I think that leads to our carnal nature, but also that side of us that your brother Green even touched on yesterday about the performance and the show.
Uh-huh.
We're so impatient sometimes because we want to validate our ministries. Want to validate who we are.
Sure.
So people can see.
Sure. And that's, everybody's into that. You get the 1,000 likes on, yeah.
Versus just living your daily life, walking with God.
And just doing it because you love Him.
Just doing it because you love Him. And when you have that, and you know, this concept that just came, and once again, it's not groundbreaking stuff, but it was just, the phrase came to me, consistency over intensity. And I just begin to think about that and go through it. And there's, I don't try to go quick on this, but I've been studying and really getting, because it blows my mind. I've never thought about this before. Isaac, the son of Abraham, the father of Jacob.
Uh-huh.
When you read his life story, bro, it's pretty boring.
Yeah, for sure.
Compared
to Jacob and Abraham.
To Abraham's?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And Jacob's?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. That's true.
Abraham was out here fighting people. I mean, he was seeing God. He was like, I mean, he's been called. I mean, he's, dude, Abraham, intense moment after intense moment. Yeah. Obviously had a walk with God. Jacob's life, I mean, crazy.
Just nuts, yeah.
But Isaac, there is a, we need more Isaacs.
Yeah.
And the truth is, there's more of us who are called to be Isaacs. And what I mean by that is not that that his life, there needed to be an Isaac.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not going to get into the whole, you know, the type of shadow of him, Jesus, and the sacrifice of Abraham and Isaac. I'm just talking about his life. If you read, he was just an obedient,
yeah,
submissive son from day one.
Mm. That's true.
That's his life story. Okay, Father.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're gonna go get you need to get married. We're gonna go find your wife and that's part of my family. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He was just very obedient, submissive, just living his life. He has no remarkable.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
There's no remarkable things. I mean,
besides the whole ordeal with Esau and Jacob.
But, yeah, I mean, but that's, he was like, old, and he had, you know,
he's blind.
Blind. He favored his son. I mean, he lied about his wife Rebecca. His wife couldn't have it. You know, she was barren. You know, mm-hmm. He prayed for, but his whole life, but. His life was not, like, it wasn't, let me say it the way it seems in our way of thinking that his life would be, well, what'd he do?
Right.
What do you mean what he did?
Right.
He was the bridge. He was the one that kept the faith.
Sheesh.
He's the one that continued walking in obedience, mm-hmm. that to make sure the next generation, mm-hmm. got it. And his, yeah, yeah, yeah. That is needed.
That's powerful.
It's so needed, bro. Like that, we get so we want to, everybody wants to be,
golly,
but
dude.
We need Isaacs.
And what's crazy about that whole situation is anytime after that, you hear the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
And his life is just as valuable. What he did was just as important. What he experienced, because it was obedience, consistency, it seemed mundane. And like, there was nothing to write about his life.
That's crazy, bro.
But his life meant and it was needed for it to continue. And unfortunately, and I shouldn't even say unfortunately, because it still speaks to the connotation and the way we view things. We're so in this celebrity phase of everything.
Being
a pillar in the house of the Lord,
it's like put down.
It's put down.
Yeah, yeah.
Being faithful, raising your family right, being someone that the pastor just doesn't have to call
or
to get onto and has to worry about you. That you're faithful, you're giving in your time, you're sacrificing, you're taking your kids to Sunday school, you're taking them, you're teaching them. You're an Isaac, but guess what? We need Isaacs.
Yeah, bro.
We need them. And honestly, there's more of us called to be Isaacs because this has, from generation to generation, the Lord tarries. Your son's going to you're raising Jacob.
Yeah.
But we need you to be Isaac.
Uh-huh. We need you.
There's so much there, bro. But that's just something, and I digress. Inside joke. But I do digress. I could talk about this one a lot. Like I say, it's nothing groundbreaking, nothing crazy.
No, but it's...
But it's just something that, for me, lately, I've been watching the trajectory of kind of... Maybe I could see if we're not careful,
wow,
we could raise a generation that only knows God through intense moments and not through the consistency of what he desires.
That's kind of... That's hitting, bro. That's... Man. Well, real quick. I've still got about 10 minutes, but that's okay. We can end this episode because I just... Right now, my mind is just... blown. But I don't know if you want to pray, bro. And just allow God to just use you right now in prayer.
Before I pray,
yeah,
God. Brother Mark Brown at Youth Congress said the next wave of revival is going to be through the unknown. So I don't know if you remember this. He preached a message.
Oh, where's the lad?
Where's the lad?
Yeah,
it's going to be. There's going to be revival through people that were unknown.
Wow.
You're not going to know who they are. And I believe wholeheartedly that if we can grab a hold of that and can care less about all these things, and I'm just going to say this too, and I'm bringing this up because when we transitioned out of youth ministry, I know a lot of people didn't mean anything by it.
Sure.
But I was getting, what are you going to do? You're going to go evangelize now? You're going to go do this? And I just like, no, I'm going to stay here and help my pastor build a church.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
It's like, I ain't got...
What else is there better to do?
I'm going to stay here and be to help my pastor. I'm going to be to build a church.
Yeah.
We're going to church build. Like, I got, my eyes aren't on nothing else.
Yeah.
I ain't got to chase this. I'm saying all that because... If there's a young man or young lady listening to this, or just anybody who's involved in ministry, we got to get our eyes off
the hype.
Just, it's not about that, man. It's just not. And we got to get focused on what really matters, and that's daily living, being in His will, being consistent in who we are, say who we are, and live who we are, and preach what we say. Just do it all. Just be consistent. Just do that. And if you could do that, I promise you, whatever God has in store for your life will come to pass.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And it will blow your mind.
Yeah.
And you're not... Somebody just asked me today. Again, I don't think they mean anything by it. Have you prayed about doing this and that? Just some different stuff, right? I said, listen. No. Everything that I've done in the kingdom,
uh-huh,
and I'm not trying to, I was talking to my wife about this. I've served local, I've served state, and somehow I even served nationally, bro.
Yeah.
All I've ever done is just said yes. People ask me, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
I've never, ever knocked on a door, never, ever, even, God, I want to do that. I just okay. So, hey, brother. Okay, sure. Yeah.
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 I'll do the best I can.
Yeah. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
If you believe in me, okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I've ever done.
Yeah.
And so my point with all that is, if you be consistent in who you are and allow God to do the rest, it will be way better than you could even think or imagine what you try to mold and what you try to shape. Mm. And I know I don't want to once again continue to get too far, but consistency over intensity. Be consistent. And when those intense moments come, use them as fuel to continue in your consistency. Let's pray.
Jesus.
Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this moment, for this time, Lord. I pray that for anyone who's listened to this, Lord, that they would take this, Lord, word, take this into their heart and learn to depend on you for all things, to walk daily with you, to understand, Lord, that you have it all figured out. You have it all. You have their life. You have their situation, Lord, all in your hands, Lord. And I pray that they would have enough courage to put their hand to the plow where they're at, where they're completely satisfied and content with what you are producing in their life, Lord. And they would just focus on being consistent in you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, come on, somebody.